Well, hello, and welcome to Python 411, Computer Programming for Everybody. Well, this is a podcast using some new sound equipment. Recently had some complaints about the quality of the sound, and I admit it left a lot to be desired and, in fact, probably was deteriorating recently. So, I've been doing this podcast for well over a year now using stuff I had laying around the house, really. It didn't buy anything. Didn't use a compressor, use a very cheap microphone, free software, and, well, nothing wrong with that, but I went out and I bought a decent microphone, and not expensive, but pretty decent, and a preamp, which makes all the difference in the world. With my old microphone, I was just plugging it straight into the Macintosh, and I had to jack all the settings up to record at the very highest volume levels just to make it loud enough to be heard as a podcast, and therefore it distorted the sounds and a lot of bad things. So now I have a preamp like most podcasters have, so it may take me a while to learn how to use this equipment properly and some new software I'm using, but hopefully I will eventually have much better sound quality. And also on interviews, I'm really upgrading my techniques, and I've learned to use Skype and using it for three-way interviews. So a lot of good stuff, hopefully, on the sound quality. This podcast is about Python Card, which I have used for about 5 years now since its inception. It is an open-source project with a lot of good developers. Kevin Altus is the primary developer and lead developer and originator. And he did a podcast. Well, actually, he did a presentation at the 2005 PyCon, and it was recorded, and it is up there on that site. So I'm going to replay that after processing the sound a little bit at the end of this podcast. It's about 17 minutes long. I'm going to do a brief introduction. And I think Python Card is one of my all-time favorite Python projects. I think it is the most underrated and underappreciated of Python projects. Python Card is, in my opinion, the easiest way to make a GUI around your Python program, period. And I suspect the easiest way to make a GUI around any program in any language. It is incredibly easy to make significantly powerful GUIs. Python Card is a framework which sits on top of WXPython, and it uses WXPython standard, and so you can create your program, and then you can, if you know enough WXPython, you can go and edit it in on the command line. But what Python Card allows you to do is to create a GUI using a sort of a drag and drop method like Visual Basic does, only much simpler. It's a very simple tool with a very narrow and short learning curve, and I use it for nothing complex, just to make GUIs for data input to my simple Python scripts. But for that, it is absolutely perfect, and you can make much more complicated programs. In fact, when you download Python Card, 50 samples come with it, with a sample launcher, and those 50 samples include some very sophisticated things for samples, and it's all open source, so you can use those as basis for your own programs to modify them quite simply. Python Card is it has something called a resource editor, and what it does is the resource editor allows you to drag and drop, and then it automatically creates the code in the resource editor, which the code in the resource editor is only for the presentation of the GUI, not the logic. So it separates the logic from the presentation. And the resource editor creates this code. Now, you can write it by hand if you want or edit it by hand. But the way I use it, I use the resource editor to drag and drop dialogues and menu items and buttons and things. And the resource editor then automatically records that code, and then I go into the code editor, another little simple IDE type program that comes with Python Card, and I write the logic of the program, and I associate events with actions on the GUI. So, you know, there's tutorials, there's walkthroughs right on the main Python Card website, and you can learn this if you know a little bit of Python. If you know enough Python to write a script, a command line script of any kind, you can in one day learn Python card well enough to put a GUI around it that will look good on Windows, the Mac, Linux, because WXPython is cross-platform. So it's really, really nice. And I just can't recommend it highly enough. If you want to learn GUI programming and you're new to it, but you know Python, then try out Python card. And by the way, as I say, it sits on top of WXPython, and there is a great new book that I've mentioned before, WXPython in Action by Robin Dunn and Noel Rappin. And by the way, I wrote a review of this and got it slashdotted about a month ago. So if you read a review of WXPython in Action under a pseudonym there, that was me. I've had lots of Python books that I've gotten slashdotted, and it's kind of nice because then you can go to Amazon and watch the sales really skyrocket for a few days after a book gets slashdotted. So I think that's kind of neat. But it is a good book if you really want to learn any more details about WXPython. So now, without further ado, I'm going to jump right into the presentation by Kevin Altus at the 2005 Python Card, Keeping It Simple with Python Card. And here is Kevin Altus. I did contact him, and he agreed to let me use this. And I think it's released on a Creative Commons type license anyway, which is a very, very nice of Kevin to do. So away we go.
What we would do is actually do a demo and actually build an application from scratch. And then I will describe what we're doing as we go. And if you want to ask questions, just throw those out or save them to the end. And we'll see if we can try and deal with that. The one thing I do want to say, how many people here have used HyperCard? Okay, so Python card is not HyperCard. basically what that means is it's just not that sophisticated yet. It's more like VB, and the 1.0 version of Python card, which will be sometime this year, whenever WXPython 2.6 ships, you know, fingers crossed, basically will be a lot like what you see today. Python card 2.0, which we now have a development mailing list, could be something completely different, maybe more like HyperCard. It might be more advanced, hard to say. So anyway, enough slides. Let's build an application. So the way that you build applications, Python card basically includes all the tools, the framework, lots of sample applications and tools to get examples from. There's about 50 included in the distribution. Everything that you're seeing here from the tools is actually built with Python card. So if you actually look at it, it's Python card code that you're using to write Python card applications. Just a little bit self-referential and scary sometimes, but that's the way it's done. So we're going to do a very simple application. The reason why is because if I say we're going to build an MP3 player or something, then we'll get bogged down in the details. But there is an MP3 player sample that you can look at if you want to. So what we do is we need to grab the type of template we want to build our application after we pick new. In this case, I just chose a simple application with a file exit menu. And we need to pick a place to save this and what it's going to be called. I'm going to call it PyCon. It's going to be saved in this financial folder. Oh, and I'm running on the Mac just to make things more interesting, since everyone says that the WX version is least stable and ugliest on the Mac. So I've also got a Windows version I'll show you after we're done. So we've just made our application. Actually can be run right now. If I hit the run item, that's actually our app. It's running. It doesn't do anything because we haven't added any buttons or anything, but we could just stop there and say we just built a working application. So next thing we need to do, I want to build a mortgage calculator, I think is what I want to do today. So we need some data input fields. Everything in Python card basically uses names for identifiers. There's no numeric IDs. There's no hidden magic. It's just names for all your components. In this case, we need a field to enter the amount of the loan that we want to calculate. We'll go ahead and preload that with, say, $100,000 for a house.
We'll
Okay. Well, let's actually bring up the property editor. Click on the text. You want to... How about a $500,000 house? How's that? We need another field for the rate. Okay, somebody give me a valid rate.
5 1/4.
Oops. Got to have a zero in there. It'd be very expensive. And we probably need some static text to tell us what those things are. One of those was our amount. And then we had also our rate. Doesn't really matter what these fields are called because we're not going to actually reference them. Now, this sort of looks a little bit ugly, and you probably, that's too small, isn't it? Yes? No?
Okay.
It's okay? Okay. So what we need to do is go over to the properties, click on the font. So up that to like 18. Resize the box. Do the same thing for this one. Up that to 18. This is all, what I'm doing in here is all with the resource editor, which is one of the tools that it comes with. Now, that stuff doesn't really line up very well, but we can turn on the align components to grid option under there. And then when I'm moving it, it's going to lock to whatever I've got the grid size set to, which is currently 5 pixels. So now we can actually run this again. And when we run the application this time, we can actually see that we can type some more numbers in here. We can tab between the fields. Still doesn't do anything, but at least we've got the basics of the layout done. Now, if we go back to, did I just quit the wrong thing? I think I did. Now, we need a button to actually calculate our values, and I'm just going to go ahead and make the label of that calculate. Let's drag that over here. And we're going to need some place to stick a result. So I guess a static text field is probably the way to go. We could also do an HTML window, but let's just do static text for now. Call this field result. And just so that we know something's in there, I'll just put a bunch of number symbols initially and drag this down here. So now we've actually got most of our layout stuff is actually taken care of, but we haven't actually done any code. Now, what happened when we created that new project is it created a file for us for the code. The layout's actually kept in a separate resource file. It's not actually kept with the source code. And so what happened is I created this PyCon sample and it created a code template file for us as well. So the reason why we're able to actually run that from the resource editor is that we've got this code here. This is the entire application, and this is sort of boilerplate. Looks pretty similar for all applications. But what we need to do now is we need to add an event handler to actually do something. In this case, remember I added this calculate button. So what we need to do is we need to have a calculate event handler, which looks like this. And I don't know what I want this to do initially, so what I'm going to do is refer to our static text components that I had on here. Remember, I called it result. And I'm going to put some stuff in there. Now, theoretically, we can run this application from the code editor as well. Code editor and resource editor are not currently integrated. That's something that we'll probably do in a later version. And so now when we click the calculate button, we're actually getting a result. Everyone with me so far? Okay, so now let's actually do some work. In this application, I don't actually have the code to do the mortgage calculation myself. Now, luckily, I did a Google search, and I was actually able to find a library called PyFi. At least I think it's called PyFi. PyFi. Let's make sure we're in the right directory. Okay, the shell. The code editor has PyCrest, which comes with WXPython, is built in. So that's what I'm actually using. Okay, so there's PyFi. You see that? Okay, the PyCrest shell has code completion, so when I type dot, I actually get to see all of the methods that are in that module, or functions. In this case, I want amortization. So then I just type tab, it completes that for me. When I hit the open parens, I get a full tooltip telling me what I need to do for that particular function. So in our case, we need to do the loan, the rate, this number of payments in our time period, which since we're doing a mortgage, we'll do for a year, and then the total number of payments is what we need to give it. Now, we could test that out here in the shell to make sure this stuff works right. So we had, let me go back to doing 100,000 just so. It's hard to type at an angle. Just so that I can actually see that we're getting valid results. So we had, what was that, 5 1/4? And we're going to be doing this for 12 payments a year. And that's going to be, we'll do both a 15 and a 30. And what'd I do? Oh, sorry. That looks like a reasonable value. Anyone here buy a house for $100,000? Knows for sure.
Yeah, that's about right.
Okay, so now what we need to do is actually plug that into our code up here. So we need to import that PyFi module, and then down here we need to get some values. Now I'm going to do a little bit of a shortcut. Everything in Python card, the components basically sit on this background, and you can always reference them via the self dot components identifier. So just like I was able to do self dot components dot result, I can get the amount from the self dot components dot amount field. In this case, we want that amount to be an integer for our calculation purposes. We also need the rate, which we want to be a float. And then we're going to need to do a calculation, which I'm just going to say this is payment over 15 years. And this is going to use that PiFi dot amortization. And we're going to need to plug in the amount, the rate, our 12, and then 12 times 15. And that should actually give us the proper values. And then what we need to do here for our result is turn that back into a string. So initially, I'm just going to make this payment 15. And let's see if it runs. That doesn't, does that look right? Oh, I'm sorry. Cool. Okay, so we've got a working application. It was pretty stupid. Wasn't very impressive. Since we've got this onInitialize in here, I'm going to go ahead and show what that's for. Basically, the onInitialize is where you put all of the initialization steps that you want to happen when your application first starts up. And onInitialize is actually an event itself, and it's guaranteed to happen after all of the noise of an application starting up is over. So that's all your moves, your size, your focus events and things like that occur. So we could basically just pass in this to force the event handler to happen when we actually run the app. So I'll go ahead and quit and then run this again. And this time, when it starts up, it should automatically calculate based on what was already in the fields, which it did. Now, there's a whole bunch of stuff that's in Python Card that you can get into as you play with it more. One of the more interesting options are all the runtime tools. So just like we have a shell and the code editor, remember I told you that all these, the resource editor and the code editor are actually built with Python Card. We can actually use these tools at runtime with any application that you build with Python Card. So in this case, I want to have the message watcher run. So what's going to happen is when we run that application again, we're going to get this message watcher window. And it's going to actually show me all of the events that are occurring as I'm doing the application. So as I move the mouse, it shows the mouse moves firing. As I type a key, we see the key down events. And so what this allows you to do is to see what your GUI application's actually trying to do. And that way it makes it easier to debug those events, which normally just seem like black magic. So that's built in. The other thing you have is the shell. So at runtime, remember we had that self.components. If we look at the result, this is actually, we're running the live application. We can actually change that stuff at runtime if we want. In fact, there's a whole property editor that we can use at runtime and actually change that stuff as well. So we could actually, even though we can type the rate over here, we could actually play with it in the property editor live as well. So those are just things that you can get more into as you get more advanced with Python Card. 5 minutes. Okay, so since we have 5 minutes left, let me go ahead and hide this stuff. People have questions, they can go ahead and move up. And I'm going to go ahead and copy this So this is virtual PC running on the Mac, but what I did is I just copied the folder that we were just working in and double-clicking on the application that we just wrote. And it also works on Linux, so basically the same thing. And the last thing I want to show, since we're here, is that Python card does come with 40 or 50 samples that you can look at. There's a samples launcher that basically shows every single one of the samples. There's a description of what that sample does. You can also look at the source code in the samples launcher, as well as the resource file to see what those look like. And just as a last little thing, people, when I first started this, basically the common thinking was that you couldn't write a GUI application in Python because it would be too slow. So this is all interactive Spirograph, which is all written in Python using Python card and WXPython, and it basically updates on the fly as you drag the items. Okay, questions?
Hi, you quickly glossed over moving the button, turning on the grid settings so that they stuck to like some kind of grid, whereas in many other widget toolkits, like especially Swing, there are very, very sophisticated layout mechanisms that allow you to resize the application nicely. Does Python card have that?
If you're talking about sizers, Python card sits on top of WXPython, and because all Python card classes are subclasses of WXPython, if we don't do something, you just stick in WXPython code. There's nothing in the layout tools to do sizers. Everything's static placement in the current generation of the tool. But you can still do it using code. And in fact, a lot of the samples and tools actually make use of those.
So this is kind of a follow-up to that. If you were putting in a sizer, well, first off, would you ever have an init method in one of those background classes that we
No.
saw? Okay, so you put your sizer call in the initialization method?
Yeah.
Okay.
In fact, I can show you an example of that. Even the Spirograph application, if we look at the source code, we scroll down here.
Okay.
Down at, well, it should be in here. Oh, I'm sorry, this is a subclass. I got to go to a different sample. Turtle sample. So basically, there's a single line called single item expanding sizer layout. That actually is sizer code, but it's hidden because it's a special case. But you would do the same thing if you had a more complicated sizer. You just call the method.
You said there is an HTML rendering window?
What? Yeah, there's HTML. There's also a ActiveX wrapper on Windows for the Internet Explorer ActiveX control. They'll give you basically anything you can do in Internet Explorer, you can do in that wrapped window. There's also one for Flash on Windows and PDFs, but those are all Windows-specific. You can't do them on Mac and Linux.
What do you use to render the HTML? What version of HTML does it support, and does it support CSS?
The Internet Explorer one does, again, only Windows. For all the other platforms, it does not support CSS. It's just the one that's built into WX widgets.
Thanks.
Reorganizing. So, okay. Basically, you have a wrapper around WXPython. How would you offer an upgrade path if you go deeper into WX? How would you integrate that into Python card?
Like I said, all of our classes are subclasses of WXPython classes, and there's been an attempt made to simplify WXPython. So, for example, in the base WX window class, there's probably 175 methods most of which are absolutely useless for day-to-day programming. So in Python Card, we've only wrapped the ones which are actually useful. And in Python Card, all those methods are mixed case style. So they start with a lowercase letter and then have an uppercase. So easily distinguishable from the WX ones, which are all camel case. And all you had to do is just basically use those methods instead. If you need something more advanced.
Yeah, another point I'd like to add. The HTML control is a really simple rendering control which runs a grid. And it's also possible to use custom classes, like you build a component, and you put that into an HTML file, and it renders your interface. That's how I did that. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that's even despite the limitations of that HTML control, you can actually do things that you can't do in normal HTML, which is sort of interesting. We have time.
Hi, my name is Brad Allen. I'm a something of a Python newbie and a Python Card newbie. I've been using it now for several months, and I'm quite happy with it. I'm quite happy with the mailing list. There are several advanced users who are very helpful, and I really appreciate all the work you've done on it over the years. I know it's actually a fairly mature tool by now. You've been doing it since what, about 2001, 2000?
That's when we started, and then what tends to happen is there's a handful of people that work on it on and off and tends to not get anything done for 6 months, and then I'll go into coding mode and blast new stuff out in, you know, a couple weeks or a month, and then we have a new version. We've been in holding pattern basically since last fall, waiting for WXPython 2.6.
But it's a pretty good holding pattern. I'm finding it to be a fairly productive tool.
A little bit clunky.
Yeah, a little clunky. Like the code, the resource editor has some strange goof-ups that happen sometimes. Eventually they'll be fixed, but you can work with that. If the resulting application is stable and the resulting application does what it's supposed to do, if the resource editor is, you know, has a strange glitch here or there, no big deal. You can work with it. And in fact, I think it'd be worthwhile if you showed off what the resource file looks like, that it's actually a Python module. It's not generated code, it's a generated data structure. And it's very nice that you can go in and, if you have a problem with the code editor, you can go in and actually edit that text.
Just basically the resource file format, like I said, all the layout stuff is kept separate from the source code. And it's basically just dictionaries and lists. This is actually a resource file for the turtle sample. So all the menu items, and then in this case there's only one item, one component on the canvas. But basically, you can edit with any Python editor, including code editor, tab code editor that comes with Python Card. So it is easy to deal with. And if you screw up, it's probably a syntax error. Or you'll get an error when at runtime, and it'll tell you, you know, where you messed up. I did want to say, so plans, release 1.0 this year. I mean, basically, we're just waiting on WXPython 2.6. There is going to be an open space. Let's see, that's more info. Where are we at? Open space, 4 to 4:30. So I can actually do slides then if people want, or just bring any questions. Mm-hmm. Or if you want to get stuff installed on your machine, the website basically details how to do that. It's using an older version of WXPython, so if you want to upgrade that, that's fine. And you can actually start building your first application this afternoon if you want.
Could you give us a mailing list URL at this point?
Just go to the main site, and everything is off of there. So pythoncard.org.
Okay.
And that's got all of the stuff.
I believe lunch is being served upstairs now.